Woohoo Hype, not your ordinary wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey sort of podcast.
All right, we are on the air. Welcome, everybody, back to Woohoo Hype. We are here at Woohoo Hype Live. We haven't done this in a long time, so hey, everybody.
Hey.
We have a whole bunch of crew here from Woohoo Hype. We've got Harry, who I think is going to pop in here eventually. And just want to kind of get us kicked off here in case you're not sure what Woohoo Hype's about, who we are. We are a Doctor Who podcast and Google Hangout sponsored by Hypeable.com. If you haven't seen us on Hypeable, go check out Hypeable.com, bringing you all the latest news from Doctor Who, etc. If you want to participate live during this podcast, the best way to do it is on Twitter. I know that Google has a bunch of other applications and things, but I got to be honest, they don't really always deliver comments in real time. In fact, I tested it earlier. It was delivering comments 15 minutes after I sent them, so there's progress for you. So please use Twitter, and the Twitter hashtag for this is WhoHype, no space, WHOHYPE, and we'll totally try to incorporate your comments, your thoughts into our show. So before we get started, I just want to introduce everybody. I'm Laura, one of your hosts here at Hypeable.com. I'm probably the old school Whovian on the panel. My first doctor was Peter Davison, so yeah, going back, dating myself, lots of fun right there. But I thought everybody else could kind of go around and introduce themselves. And as you introduce yourselves, we do our little rating system, which is our thumbs up, our thumbs down, or our thumbs sideways for the episode. And I got to say, I'm giving this one a thumbs up. So tossing it over to you guys. Kyle, how about you? What did you think?
Definitely a thumbs up. It was amazing. I got started Doctor Who with Matt Smith, I guess he was the doctor. Like, I watched it... I have no idea. In between season 5 and 6, I think, is when I got caught up. But for this episode, definitely thumbs up. I love the entire thing. A lot of people thought it was really weird, and I remember Jen commented in our Facebook group going, like, can someone explain this to me? Because I'm confused. And I'm like, I liked it. I liked the confusion and everything. So definite thumbs up for me.
Okay, how about you, Jen? What did you think?
I'm going to give it a thumb sideways because I don't really know what the point was. And I think, like, at some point in time, you have to have an episode that has a point to some extent. Like, the confusion has to have something that makes sense, and I don't really know if anything in the episode made sense. Especially the ending, which I know we'll get to talk about, but what the hell? It only left you with a million more questions, and it didn't really resolve a lot of things. And there were certain parts that I found really kind of annoying, like the whole Clara and Dr. boyfriend bit. Did anyone really think that they were boyfriend and girlfriend last season? Because I didn't.
No.
So I'm a little confused by that. That was really annoying. It felt like it was almost a commentary to the fandom rather than about Clara and the doctor. It was like Clara was representative of the fandom. Let's be real. That was not very veiled. So I had issues with some of it. But I like Capaldi overall. I thought he was really, really good. I was a little worried because I was so used to younger doctors and their behaviors, but I really like Capaldi in the role. That part didn't bother me at all. It was just the storyline itself that kind of bogged it down for me.
Kristen, how about you?
It's a thumbs up for me, but it's a thumbs up with room for improvement. I do like Capaldi. I didn't think I was going to like him very much. I was having trouble, you know, moving on. Then again, disclaimer, I just watched Matt Smith's last episode yesterday. I'm very much like the doctor. I hate endings, so I put them off forever. So I was like, I need to watch his last one finally. I have to do it because of the hangout today. So I watched it last night and then watched the other this morning, the new one this morning. But no, I really did like it. I think Capaldi's going to be a really interesting new version of the Doctor for people that have only been watching the reboot era, because Eccleston and then Tennant and Smith have all been so young, and they've kept like that childish energy to it. I like that we've got somebody a little older, a little more, he's got a little more gravitas to him, and I think that's going to be a really fun way to see the Doctor that we haven't before, those of us that didn't watch Classic, so.
Cool. All right, so We've tapped on a couple little things. First of all, there's a lot new this episode. First thing I want to do is talk a little bit about one of the first things that's hit you with new is that new title sequence, which one of the people on Twitter, Holly C., brought up. I love that new title sequence. What do you guys think about it with the clocks and the whole thing?
Oh, it's so cool. So awesome.
Yeah,
I definitely like
really
it.
Really sharp. Yeah.
And it feels like they've made a conscious effort to change not only the title sequence, but didn't the music also feel different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's a very, again, I feel like it's a lot of effort put in on the showrunner's part to make it feel incredibly different than any of the past in, like, incarnations of the Doctor.
Yeah, it's very, it almost had, I don't want to say that it's steampunk, because it's not really steampunk, but it almost, like, with the gears, I think when you see gears and clocks, you just kind of think steampunk, and then we went to the Victorian era, so maybe. But I loved it. I also loved that the music wasn't as, like, techno-heavy as it had been recently.
Yeah.
I like that. A little bit more basic. Totally got into that. All right, so a lot of good stuff this episode. And as always, we have some really fantastic quotes. I thought maybe we could share some of our favorite quotes. I know for me, the one that I had was, you know, because it's hard to pick the favorite one, and there were some, like, really good zingers, and then there were some that were, like more touching, and for me, the one quote that really, really stood out was one that I felt like sort of almost defined who the Doctor is, no matter who the Doctor is, and that was when Clara's talking to the Clockwork Alien, and she says, "But I know where he'll be, where he will always be, if the Doctor is the Doctor, he will have my back." So for me, I felt like no matter who the Doctor is, no matter what face is there, no matter how angry or kindly or whatever format that Doctor is, that is the Doctor. And for me, that was my favorite quote. How about you guys? Kyle, how about you? What was your favorite?
My favorite quote came from Vastra right at the beginning of the episode when the policeman was like, "It laid an egg." And she was like, "It dropped a blue box marked police box out of its mouth. Your grasp of biology worries me." And it was just like, oh my goodness. I loved it. It was like that and all the all the comedic quotes this episode were all my favorite. I loved all the deep ones too, but the comedic ones were what I loved.
How about you, Kristen? What did you think?
Mine is definitely when the Doctor was in the alleyway with the bum, and he says, "These are attack eyebrows. You can take bottle tops off with these." It took me back to the chin and the nose and Clara's, like, first episode in, you know, Attack of the Daleks or Asylum of the Daleks, when she's, you know, talking about the chin, and it took me back to remembering all of the other Doctors and the little physical things they make fun of themselves for, and I thought that was a really nice little touch.
Yeah, I like those, because, I mean, let's face it, eyebrows and nose, like, really?
Yeah.
That's, like, anybody who's ever going to draw a caricature of Peter Capaldi, that's what they're going for, the eyebrows and the nose. They're a little hard to miss.
Definitely.
Jen, how about you?
I think for me, it was that I have a horrible feeling I'm going to have to kill you. Thought you might appreciate a drink first. No, I would. And I think that's just a very different outlook for the Doctor than what we're used to. He doesn't willingly want to kill people usually, or not doesn't openly talk about it so much. So I think it was really different to hear him say that.
Yeah, and that's something I think we're definitely going to get into in our discussion, is the fact that this is a darker Doctor. This is not, like, goofy Matt Smith, and it's not, like, dare I say it, cuddly David Tennant. He's PO'd. Like, he is not a happy camper, and everyone knows it. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to explore. Did he almost remind anybody a little bit of sort of, like, the angry Chris Eccleston angry? Anybody else get that vibe?
I think he's almost a level beyond Chris Eccleston's angry, though. And I don't get why, and I think that's what's so hard about watching him come into the role this way, is because we don't get the anger. There's no substance for it. So it's really hard to kind of grasp onto him as a Doctor and what his role is going to be, because we don't have any idea where the anger is coming from.
For me, it's almost like Eccleston, while he was angry, was more of a, like, more of a cuddly anger. Like, I never really felt scared by him, whereas Capaldi, like, when he is mad, his eyes are huge and those eyebrows are intense, and it just, he is a very formidable doctor. I'm interested to see him go up against some of these classic villains that we know of, that I want to see what it does to him and what kind of anger comes out of him then.
Yeah, I mean, realistically speaking, like, you know, I mean, I'm going back to, like, Eccleston, the most memorable thing about his face was his ears. It's not like you do angry ears, you know, they don't flap, you know? So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Kristen. Man, it is. It's all that face and it's that intensity. Yeah, what I'm hoping, and I don't think it would be like this, but, again, I go back to the classic era. Colin Baker's doctor was a particularly cranky doctor. In fact, he woke up darn right, like, mean. And it kind of turned me off back in that era. So I don't think Capaldi's doctor is going to be, like, I don't think it's going to be like Malcolm Frobisher or anything, which is like his, like, one of his more famous roles where he's just, like, rolling one mean thing after the other. But I think it's going to be... it's going to be interesting to see how he balances that dark and light and which way that goes. Going to be interesting. All right, so why don't we talk about, of course, now, like, my screen freezes, and this would be great. Oh, there we go. Oh, okay, I know where I wanted to go with this. So there's always a scene that I always say, that was sort of like the moment when the doctor becomes yours. Like, I know for me, when we transitioned from Eccleston over to Tennant, I didn't warm up to David Tennant right away. I mean, it seems stupid now, but I didn't warm up to David Tennant until about the end of the werewolf episode, which is, I think, the second or third episode in his story arc. So for me, I know where I kind of warmed up to Peter Capaldi, and I'm curious where it landed for all of you guys. Like, Kristen, like, what point was Capaldi like, okay, this is the new doctor for you? Like, at what point did you like, okay, I think you might be able to snag this?
Well, the first moment that he really struck me as the doctor, the thing that clued me in to, like, okay, he's here, like, was when he looked at her and said, how long can you hold your breath? I don't know what it was about that line, but they're sitting in the middle of danger, and rather than, like, calm her down or, you know, any, he's just, how long can you hold your breath? And she looks at him like, what? And then all of, you know, the chaos begins with the clockwork guys. So it's just, that for me was the moment that kind of defined what I think his doctor's going to be like.
That's a good point. Kyle, how about you? What was the moment for you when you went, yeah, doctor?
It's hard for me to pick, because it's either between, like, I know I told this to you earlier, it was the scene in the air balloon thing with the villain, when he was, like, monologuing and explaining, like, what he can do and what his base code is, but it's also the scene, as I was rewatching it, like, this past hour, the scene with the hobo, I loved, because not only was it hysterical, but he was discovering himself in that mirror, and he was just he was trying to think about why he had that face. Like, he's seen that face before, and everyone knows this huge thing with Capaldi since he's been in the series before in Torchwood and in the Pompeii episode. Everyone knows that, like, we've seen him, and they're going to play something about that. And so just seeing him realize that, and, like, it's like I'm trying to tell myself something. So it's like he's trying to bring out his darker side, and I loved that whole bit.
Jen, how about, yeah, and you're right, and that was my scene too. We had chatted a little bit earlier. That was the scene where he was there, as you said, like, monologuing his way through. I went, okay, you got me right there. Jen, how about you? What was your scene?
I don't know if I necessarily have a scene fully yet. I think the ending where he's very sure of himself and says, well, Clara, that's me. I know what was said on the phone because it was me calling. And that whole hugging thing, because Matt Smith always had a thing about hugging. And so I think it was he's like, oh, I don't, I'm sure I do hugging now. And so I think there was some element of how each doctor discovers himself in a first episode that was there for him in that scene. And also when he's like, oh, I don't do doors, or doors are not for me, or whatever that one was, and he was like, oh, it's a door. So I think there's something there, like, those little elements are there, I just want to see more of them. And I think, again, it goes back to me for story, because I read so many books, and because I, like, that sort of thing, like, seeing a show like that that doesn't really have a point, I guess, at least not yet, was really hard, so it's hard to warm up to the characters when you don't understand what their motives are.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have a comment on Twitter from Joseph Del Mundo, and he's saying, I've been watching classic Doctor Who. I stopped at season 3, serial 1. William Hartnell and Capaldi reminds me of Hartnell. And I think that's actually legit. There is definitely something of a older classic Doctor vibe in Capaldi. It's definitely there. Part of Hartnell was more contained. You know, if you think about it, Matt Smith was all like arms and legs and flapping around, and David Tennant was Mr. like run. I mean, he just like ran. I think he spent the entire series like running a marathon. And even Eccleston was just, he was like James Dean. Like, he was just too cool, you know? And I think Capaldi does harken back. I think that's a really good comment from Twitter, that he does have a little bit more of that classic Doctor kind of vibe to him. I think that's, like, very, very legit.
I have a question, though, before we move on from that. In when Matt Smith called Clara, or the Doctor called Clara, didn't he say you need to be with him because he's a number one again, or back to being one again? Wasn't there a comment like that within that phone call?
I think you misheard it, because I think he's like, it's like he's back at square one or something
right.
Along those lines.
Do you see what I mean, how that could relate to William Hartnell? And how they're trying to say he's restarting everything again?
It'll be interesting if they go there. I don't know that I read it that way, but you know what? It's developing. There could be something there. I personally didn't read it that way, but I could see the argumentation for it.
I'd read it as he was back at square one figuring out who he was. Like, with the new regeneration is what I did. But you have that's a good point, though.
So let's, and we tapped on this a little bit just a second ago. We were talking about some of our scenes and, you know, things that where doctors came in. And so I thought maybe we could just talk a little bit about what was our favorite scene from the episode, because we had so many different gems that were really interesting, and why that was our favorite scene. I know for me personally, I just really loved the scene in the air balloon / restaurant where it was just down to the doctor and the clockwork alien. And he went through a whole range of being like reasonable, and I'm going to talk to you, but I got a scary side too. Down to, I'm standing in front of the open window or porthole or whatever it is, and then it cuts off, and I am left wondering, oh my god, did you just chuck him out the window? Like, did you seriously just chuck that guy out and spike him on Big Ben? I want to know. Plus, also, just on another hilarious note, I want to know how many times in this series we are going to abuse Big Ben. Because not for nothing, but I'm pretty sure we've had a spaceship crash into it. We've had a blimp moor itself to it. We've had people hanging on the clock dials. I just want to know, is there something about Big Ben? I mean, I get it. I'm an American. It's an iconic London thing, but is there a reason we keep abusing Big Ben? Surely they're getting tired of rebuilding it.
Well, maybe Moffat just doesn't like it. I don't know.
I don't know. I got it now.
It's a personal vendetta for Moffat. He just doesn't like it.
Yeah, seriously. It's like let's chuck somebody out from on high. Quick, put him on Big Ben. You know, it's like...
Didn't he blow it up in Sherlock, or was that Parliament?
Parliament. But Parliament. But in fairness,
it's attached, right?
Yeah. It's
right. Connected. I'm pretty sure it shows that Big Ben blew up too. So again, he has a personal vendetta.
I don't know. It's funny. So anyway, how about you guys? What were some of your favorite scenes? Why don't we toss it over to Jen? Why don't you start? What was your favorite scene?
I think my favorite scene was the phone call, because Clara didn't really get a solid goodbye with Eleven. And I think the way she was willing to run out on, you know, Capaldi's doctor so quickly, and you could tell he was upset by it, but he didn't know what to say or do, because he clearly doesn't know how to be socially appropriate in any way, shape, or form. He's very awkward. And so she was ready to leave, and that phone call made her realize that somewhere deep down inside, it's still the same man that she's been on all these journeys with. She just has to help him find out who he's going to be. And so there was something very special about that moment. Yes, it was great to see Matt Smith again. Yes, it was so, like, such a manipulation of everyone's, like, heartstrings at the end of the episode. Thanks again, Moffat. But, like, I think that it kind of maybe helped smooth the way for Clara and for viewers having that moment one last time.
Yeah, no, I think that is, it's a great episode. I think it also portrays Clara in a better light. I don't know that we've always had a great opportunity to know who Clara is beyond the bizarre, impossible girl. So I think it's we're getting a new dynamic of Clara here. Kristen, how about you?
For me, it was Clara's scene with the clockwork top hat guy that moved into Capaldi, like, saving her with the line that you had from earlier with the, you know, the doctor will always have my back. I loved everything from Clara, like, kind of outsmarting it, like, talking to the clockwork thing and, like, working her magic, and then knowing he'd be there, and him coming in, and then all their little banter about her being a control freak, like, that just for me, it just was so all-encompassing of what I love about Doctor Who. It was everything in one scene, so, yeah, that was my favorite by far.
Yeah, totally. How about you, Kyle?
Oh, man, so many good scenes. And to spice it up and mention a scene that I haven't mentioned yet, I think the one where he goes into the bedroom for the first time and he's just like, why is there a bed only a bed in the room? Like, you have a whole room for sleeping in? It was like, it was just hysterical. And then Vastra gets all Scottish and, like, calms him down. Like, I love that whole thing. It was so great.
Yeah, that was hilarious, actually. I think when I saw the episode the first time, I was at a press screening, and, you know, you're at a press screening, and it's not really cool to laugh out loud in these things, but it was, like, you know, it was a whole group of Doctor Who people, and I have to say, that was the first time there was, like, everybody seemed to feel they had permission to laugh out loud, was that entire bedroom scene. The whole press audience was actually, like, laughing out loud along together, and in particular that one line that you mentioned right there when Vastra went into the Scottish dialect, the whole place was like, wah! That was, like, really, really good. And it is cool because, like, limits of that are little things like that are just, like, things that make you go, doctor, or you latch onto. Giving out another shout-out over on Twitter here, we have Linz on Twitter. She says that she warmed up to Capaldi from the first second he was on screen telling Strax to shush. I mean, and that's just so shh. Like, you know, there's dinosaur spit all over your TARDIS. You've landed in a weird place. Somebody raps on the door, and you tell them shh. Like, you know, it's just such a doctor-y action to a ridiculous, ridiculous scene, which is so cool. So I guess since we talked a little bit, I just brought him up, Strax. We have the Paternoster gang that's back again. We have Vastra, Jenny, and Strax. What did you guys think? Did you guys like seeing the Paternoster gang back in action again? I still want these guys to have their own series. Like, they need their own spinoff. Like,
they do.
Totally do.
Yes. Oh, they're so amazing. Just, like, the way they interact with each other. And Strax just being hysterical, like, talking about how he's going to, like, throw acid on the doctor. And then he's like, okay, we won't throw acid on the doctor. And I'm like, just, like, and then he hits Clara on the head with a newspaper. I don't know why I was cracking up when that happened, but yes, they are amazing, and they definitely need their own spinoff.
Yeah, and even it's predictable. Like, you know, like, you're waiting for it, but it is. It's funny. Like, you know he's going to throw it at her or do something inappropriate. I actually thought he was going to dump the water over her. When she said, can I have some water? I really thought the bucket was going to go over her. But, yeah, totally. Jen, how about you and Kristen? Did you get, like, the Paternoster gang back?
Yeah, I always love when they're on. They're super fun. It felt like something may have been a little off at a couple points with them as a group. I can't really put my finger on it, but something just, like, between Jenny and Vastra, something seemed a little off on occasion, but not enough to detract me from still loving them for who they are. So they were great. It's always fun when they're on because it adds more dynamic as well, and I think the action always kicks up a bit because they all go and fight, and it's like, I don't know. I love Vastra. I think she's fantastic, so any more of those would be great.
Yeah, I think their interactions with Clara helped me to kind of... I don't know if I have ever warmed up to Clara, actually. Like, she's not been my favorite part of the end of Series 7 and now into 8. Like, but I really, really liked her this episode, and I thought she really, like, got a solid footing for where her character's gonna go. So, and I thought the Paternoster Gang had a lot to do with that. Like, them interacting with her and kind of helping her deal with this whole changeover and all of that with Capaldi and with the new doctor. I really, really liked them being there to kind of help her through that too. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give props to Moffat on that. I thought that was a really smart device that you could use Madame Vastra, who so looks so different in everything, and using that whole metaphor with lifting the veil and, well, my veil's gone because now you don't see it. I thought that was a really, really clever way of bringing us into all of this. The only thing I didn't like about the whole gang was that I didn't have a problem so much with Vastra flirting with Clara, but I was like, whoa, so when did this start? Because clearly they've been around before and I never noticed her flirting before, but all right, I'll go with it. The only thing I really disliked was the scene where Vastra looks like she's painting and Jenny is standing there kind of like quasi-naked posing, and then Vastra flips the thing around and it's like the Victorian, I don't know, like flow chart, for lack of a better word, that's there. And to me, I was just sort of really annoyed. I felt like, you know, Jenny is so much your equal and she helps you figure things out and she's tough and smart and sassy on her own. Like, why would you just make her stand there and be pretty? I was kind of annoyed with that. That was my only, like, downside on the episode, and I thought it was kind of interesting because at the same time, they're in a relationship that I love, which is two women that it's like, so what that they're lesbians? This is part of life, whatever. It's just one facet of who they are. I really love that. But I just felt like if Vastra was a guy and Jenny was a woman, people would be screaming like, oh my God, that's so horrible.
I feel like that might be what was off. Jen, what you noticed, I feel like what was off was the fact that Vastra seemed overly dominant over Jenny this episode. Like, she seemed like she was the one who had all control, and, like, even with the reference of, like, how Jenny's pouring the tea in, like, in private, you know, like, that whole thing, like, I think that's what was off, because it was very clear that Vastra felt like she was almost better than her, in a way.
Yeah, and we've never gotten that before, like, what the heck?
Yeah, that is a good point. I think that, definitely, because it just was weird. Like, I didn't get it. They've always been partners. There's never been one that's stronger than the other in that sense, so it was just very odd.
Yeah, like, you always feel like they're living in this arrangement of, you know, her being the head of the household, Jenny is the maid, and Strax is the butler, because it's like their cover story. And obviously they have each come from different walks of life and things, but again, they're very much equal parts of a team, although I suppose Strax, you know, has a little bit of a learning curve to catch up with them, because he still can't tell the differences between boys and girls and some things, but, like, if it comes to a battle, Strax is your guy. I mean, it's not like he's going to be, as loopy as he is, he's going to be effective one way or the other, I think. So I'm just hoping they kind of even that out, because I really would like to see these guys again. I just don't want to see it in a, you know, kind of domineering kind of thing. You know, that's the only thing I worry about. So in any case. Sorry, guys, I just lost connection here. Here, somebody else take over for a minute, because I'm just kind of lost connection.
Yeah. Well, I actually put in the next question, so that works.
Right.
I had a question for you guys about what you guys thought of Clara. Like, I know, Kristen, you talked about it already, and how, like, you weren't, like, really a fan of Clara, and, like, in the end of the seventh season, and, like, you liked her in this episode. The reason I bring it up is because I feel like a lot of people have this consensus that Clara was so much better in this episode because she had a lot of the original sass and fire that she had in her Christmas episode. And plus, the whole thing with Clara for this episode, for me, what really made her was the fact that she wasn't just okay with the fact that the doctor changed his face. Like, it was really funny because the BBC America had Tennant's regeneration episode on before I'd started this episode. And while Rose and everyone is, like, still, like freaked, obviously, they accept it much more easily than Clara did. And I like that because it makes sense for Clara to be like, I don't know who he is anymore. He's a completely different man. He's acting differently. And I feel like it's so appropriate. I like it so much that she wasn't just on board with helping him and worrying about him, but like she was also worrying if she can trust him. So I feel like that's what made Clara amazing in this episode.
See, for me, that's what made Clara like Moffat's puppet to represent the fandom as a whole. Because she basically represented what all the fans had said when Capaldi was announced as the next Doctor. That was all, like, that's what it felt like to me. That it felt like it was a tool for them to be like, look, Clara's just like you, and this is her response to the Doctor now. She feels what you feel. Oh, and look, by the end, Matt Smith has called her and all is well. So that was part of my issue with her. I like Clara. I thought she was given a good role other than that little puppeting. But, like, the other stuff I thought was really good. She's clearly brave. She's willing to go into situations. But that's kind of my feeling on what happened with Clara this episode.
Yeah, I could see that, too. There were moments I'm like, I mean, they certainly reiterated it several times over. I mean, at one point, I'm like, the only thing we're missing is Moffat walking through the scene with a sign going, he's the new guy. He's old. He's got gray hair. Get over it. You know, but I think people have kind of gotten there. I think they needed to do something, but I think Capaldi sold it. And if Capaldi hadn't sold it enough, then it didn't matter what we were saying.
So. No, he definitely sold it. I was on board with him as the Doctor. That was not my issue. I didn't care so much. I mean, I loved Matt Smith, but they always change. So I was okay with that, and it's different. But for me, it was about the story, and it was about the big, like, hey, yeah, we understand you don't really like him, but like, I felt like I was being preached to.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. Why don't we talk a little bit about the alien in our episode here, which is a revisit from probably a fan favorite episode, which was David Tennant and the Rose Tyler and Mickey, when it was the Girl in the Fireplace episode with Madame de Pompadour and the Clockwork Aliens. And if you noticed, he brought back that music. I was like, ooh, it took me a second to realize what the music was. But I really kind of liked revisiting an alien that was sort of newly created in the reboot era that we hadn't seen a lot. So this is the second time Moffat's done that. Obviously, he rebooted his Weeping Angels a couple times, and now we have this rehash. Did you guys like the idea of tying those two things together?
Yeah, well, Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have to say, it didn't, like, jump out at me at first. Like, I couldn't put my finger on exactly why they were familiar to me when I first started the episode. It's been a while since I've watched any of Tennant's. And as soon as they kind of, like, made the connection for me, it all kind of clicked, and I liked the parallel to them and their getting new faces and Capaldi getting a new face and, like, them interchanging parts, and it's them, you know, like, they talked about how, you know, you can change parts, but is it still the same thing? And I liked all of that. Like, it opened up a lot of metaphors to kind of give you an easier way to grasp this changeover, and I thought that was a really clever way to do that.
How about anybody else, like, have any strong feelings one way or the other about the Clockwork Angels? Or not that they're Clockwork Angels. Clockwork, I don't know, Clockwork Mechas and Creatures, whatever they are.
Wrong thing, Laura. That's a book.
Sorry. Angels, Clockwork Angels, bringing in Cassandra Clare. I don't know. It's all just mulling around up here. What can I say?
I mean, I think they were cool. Again, I don't really understand what their purpose was. Like, usually when we have a creature or something, they have some sort of purpose that's made clear by the end of the episode, and I don't really get what the point was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Other than to introduce that really weird woman at the end in heaven, I feel like we've missed something somewhere along the line. So I mean, they're cool. I like what they did with them. I like the whole weird face stuff and the stealing of stuff, but I would like to know what the purpose is. I guess I'm one of those people. I need to know why.
I agree. I agree completely. I want to know so many things about this episode, like, story-wise, like, that you said just didn't make sense, and they were one of them. Like, they were a good villain and a good thing for Capaldi to kind of, like, go up against, but, like, why did he need the optic nerve for the dinosaur? And the whole fact that he needed the optic nerve for the dinosaur being the only reason the dinosaur was there, with, like, the fact that, like, how did the dinosaur time travel with the TARDIS if the TARDIS was inside the dinosaur? Like, everything was just, like, I don't know. It was very confusing. And so I like them, but it wasn't explained enough. Oh, I can't hear you. I cannot hear a thing. I
still can't hear you.
Oh, no. Now you're muted. Nope.
Oh, technology.
Oh, the struggles of doing a live show, people. Hey. Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, was that the whole dinosaur thing? Did that confuse anyone else? Like, was anyone else confused as to how a dinosaur time traveled with the TARDIS?
Well, I was confused about why it was there in the first place and where it came from, because the last we knew, Clara and the Doctor were in the TARDIS, and they were in Trenzalore, were they not?
Yeah.
So where did they get to a place where there was a dinosaur that could swallow them? And exactly. I think that's the part that was confusing.
At what point did the TARDIS time travel and travel planets in order to go from a planet with the dinosaur to, like, yeah.
And we've seen the TARDIS travel outside, like, be inside of something and travel by itself somewhere else. And it almost mm-hmm. seemed like they took the dinosaur on accident. So it was like, okay, is it because, like, it was had swallowed them? It didn't make sense to me that Mm-mm. we've seen, like, Clara right. was taken with the TARDIS when she was holding the key, but it's not the same thing to, like, to have the TARDIS leave somewhere and just to bring along whatever's touching it. Like, that seemed really odd to me.
Yeah. Plus, the fact that they're back. Wearing... Yay, you're back.
Yay!
Yeah. Plus the fact that Clara was wearing the same clothes that she was in the Christmas episode was like, alright, so clearly no time has gone on, so where the hell did this dinosaur come from?
Yeah, like, it's true. Or the last time something latched onto the outside of the TARDIS, it was Jack Harkness, and he was kind of dead when he fell off of it. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and then he came back to life, but that's Jack Harkness. So, you know, there you go.
He does that.
So, in thinking about... We have a lot of questions this episode. I mean, I think part of the problem is that we faded to black after that monologue, which brings up a lot of questions. One of the biggest questions, I think, is did the Doctor kill the guy, or did he jump? What do you guys think? I don't think he pushed him.
I think he killed him. I think he pushed him.
Yeah, I think he did, too, because he says that one of us is lying about our makeup. And we all know that the Doctor has killed before.
And the and we all know that the Doctor lies.
The Doctor lies, exactly. Yeah. That was my thinking, too.
Yeah. So I feel like with this, again, we're looking at a darker Doctor who's going down a very different path from all the other ones. I feel like that he probably did. And because his end goal was to save his friends, and he knew the only way he could do it was by getting rid of this guy.
Exactly. And there's no reason the guy would have jumped if he's trying to make it to the Promised Land. He probably would have, like, tried to defeat the Doctor. And the look that Capaldi gave the screen, which broke the fourth wall for some unknown reason, when, like, he looked at the camera, like, he looked like he'd just done something terrible. Like, so, yeah.
Okay, so, alright, so then here's the next question. So, he lands, and then the next thing we know, he's in the lovely little garden with the mysterious woman.
With the crazy woman with the umbrella?
Right, like Mary Poppins on crack, whoever yeah. she is. So, do we feel like she's a brand new foe, or do we feel like she's an old foe in a new body? What do you guys think is going to be the take on this?
I know this is weird and random, but my first thought was that she was River for some reason. I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people are thinking the same thing, but, like, we've seen almost all of River's timeline, essentially, and we've seen her go directly from Melody to River. So I'm like, I don't know how or why that would be her. But everyone thought that the woman in the shop who gave Clara his number was River. And there's a heavy implication that that woman is the same woman who put the ad in the newspaper and also gave Clara the number. So I'm like, it could be River. Like, but like,
see, I know, but she's met River, so if it were River, she would know who she was.
Would she know River in this new body if it was River?
Well, it would have to be a new body, but that would cross like every time, like it would be weird. I don't know how they pulled that off.
Here's one obvious that I just think is kind of hilarious. Like they've always said you met a woman in the shop gave her the number, the phone number, because obviously that's the other mystery here too, because they even bring up again the woman in the shop who gave her the number to the helpline. And we ever notice that he's never done the obvious and said, please describe for me the woman in the shop?
Yep. Yeah.
Which, like, the reason I think about that, though, is because I go back to the episode, which was, I guess, I think it was Turn Left, where Donna and the doctor's off somewhere, and then Donna ends up having this whole crazy situation with, like, that thing on her back and everything. And in the end, she sort of comes to, and he says, she's like, oh, yeah, it was that woman, the blonde woman, who told me. And he goes, blonde? Yeah. And you start realizing that it's Rose Tyler. Like, there's some clue. I just think it's really, really weird that we've never gotten any kind of, like, describe for me, Clara, what does this mysterious woman in the shop look like? You'd think he wants to know.
Yeah.
It is very weird. At one point when he was talking, I guess maybe it's because they were in the TARDIS, and they were talking about how she got the note from the woman in the shop, and then the note was in the newspaper for her. Some part of me thought that it was the TARDIS that wanted them together, so that it was somehow the TARDIS doing it. I know that sounds really strange, but there was something about where they were standing or how he said it and the way he looked, and they were in the TARDIS, and he was like, who's the one woman that would want us to be together? Well, the TARDIS, because the TARDIS takes what she wants. And if you think back to, you know, the Doctor's wife in the whole, you know, episode with the TARDIS being a woman and everything she says to him, it felt like that fit for me. But yeah. I'm sure that's not it, but it felt like it fit.
I know, it's like wishful thinking. I'm sure there's a whole contingent of people saying that it's an older version of Amy Pond. It's Amy Pond's, like, grandchild. I've heard that theory. I've heard a million different versions of who it could be. I've even heard crack theories on it's Donna Noble, although I don't know how that one would work.
Oh.
But I'm really, really curious. I'm hoping that that is something that we eventually get to have resolved. I mean, whoever it is, it's clearly somebody that Clara has never seen, or surely she would have recognized that person. So that's going to be really, really cool. So before we start to wrap it up, anybody have anything else they want to cover regarding the episode today?
Do we think that the place that the Clockwork Man has gone, this paradise, because she says welcome to heaven, do we think it's a planet? Do we think it's a random place? Or do we think it's supposed to be technically heaven? Like, and he, because she says, I'm the doctor's girlfriend. Doesn't she?
Yeah, well, she said, I hope my boyfriend didn't hurt, like, didn't push you or something.
Yeah. So it implies.
Yeah.
I mean, I took it sarcastically. But, I mean, I could see you taking it, like, for real. I mean, the other thing that I've seen a couple people banding about on Twitter and other places is thinking that this strange woman is a reincarnation of the Rani, which could be. It's just that, like, I feel like every 30 seconds, every time there's somebody new, it's the Rani. And it's like, okay, like, if we're going to go that route, I'm just like,
can you refresh my memory?
Yeah, it goes back to Classic Who. It's a whole extra race of, like, you know, Time Lord kind of people, and it would go way, way back. I mean, I'd even have to go back and rewatch to get the full-blown details on it. But so maybe I'll probably in our show notes, I'll link it up so people can get, like, the condensed version of it. But I'm just wondering if she was just being sarcastic. Oh, it's my boyfriend. you know, just rather
than... I know. I mean, it just, it was such a weird thing. Like, it was just so, it was so strange that it threw me off. And so, do we think it's a planet? Do you guys have any thoughts about where she is?
I think it's a simulator thing. It looked a lot like, it resembled the same place that Amy got trapped at, where that had several different, like, places, you know, where, like,
The girl.
Yeah, on the ship. Yeah, exactly. And so, I feel like it reminded me of like a simulcast. Why did I say simulcast? I don't even know how to talk today. But it was fake. It looked fake. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah. I'm okay. That was my only question. It was just so weird. I don't know. It was so weird to me.
Yeah, I was gonna go for planet at first, but now I think maybe you're right. It's like a spaceship. Because,
yeah.
I mean, if for no other reason, they had to pluck them off Big Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I'm pretty sure, like, I'm pretty sure his fake eye was brown, and it was not brown before he was in heaven. Like, or maybe that was just me. I feel like he didn't have that brown of an eye, but I might be overlooking it.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else we want to bring up before we wrap up and maybe do a couple little spoilier things? Okay, so coming up this year, we know for sure we have Cybermen, we have Daleks, we have Robin Hood coming up in episode 3. How cool is that? I can't wait to meet Robin Hood. I'm, like, all about that. I'm going to be insufferable about it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I am this pathetic little Robin Hood fangirl, and I will be annoying. I'm just letting everybody know. I will be annoying. But I think it's pretty cool. Also, just like fun little news shout out. I don't know if people know this or not, but fun crossover fact. Outlander, which is a pretty popular series right now, Diana Gabaldon got the idea for setting Outlander in Scotland because she was watching an old episode of Doctor Who. And on that episode, there is a sometime companion of the Doctor whose name was Jamie. And he was a Highlander in a kilt and everything, so she named her Highlander Jamie. And she named him Freezer because of the last name of the actual actor who played that part. Well, true fact, the guy just got cast in the legit Outlander. I just saw that today. So Doctor Who and Outlander all coming together. And in one of her books, too, I forget which one, I was when I quote-unquote read her books, I was listening to them on audiobook, and she has at one point that they encounter Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, and I nearly crashed the car. I was like, oh, my God, the brig is an Outlander. But, yeah, no, so little fun crossover there. So it's nice to know that Outlander and Doctor Who, that pretty much air back-to-back on Saturday nights, have some history together and some more history together going forward. Getting into now stuff that may be a little spoilery, so if you're, like, a total spoiler phobe, you may not want to listen to this. It's total conjecture, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. We don't have a legit, like, 100% thing on this, so... couple little spoilier things, but so if you don't want to hear it, you might want to tune out, but if you want to stick with us, great. And one of those items is, last time to disconnect, guys, just warning, somebody's going to, like, send me hate comments.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
So last item we want to bring up here is that Clara may be leaving at Christmas time. There's a rumor from the Mirror that that's true, and normally I think the Mirror is... not incredibly reliable. That's probably the nicest thing I can say about them. But in regards to Doctor Who, they clearly have a mole or somebody who's connected at the BBC, whatever, because they've gotten a whole bunch of stuff legit right over the last 3 years that nobody else knew, like way ahead of everybody else. So obviously they've got somebody on the take or whatever who works in the production or at the BBC. So... what do you guys think? Clara leaving at Christmas? Good thing, bad thing?
I don't really know how I feel.
Prior to this episode, I would have said I'm fine with it because, honest to God, I had not attached myself to her at all. But this episode, just something about her, just I was like, okay, I'm on board with her now. Like, I totally get it. So Now I'm a little torn about it, but when I heard the news before watching the premiere, I was like, sure. Like, I think it's a little more understandable since it'll be nice to see Capaldi kind of them get a companion that's just for him. Like, not someone that he's just working with because when Matt left, Clara was there and she had just kind of started, so we're going to work her into the story. Like, it'll be nice if she does go to get somebody they've designed to work with Capaldi, someone they really meant for him to work with. I think that'd be cool.
I agree. I think she hasn't had enough time to shine, and the episodes that she was in, she didn't like really shine that much, but that's not her fault. That was Moffat's fault. And I feel like maybe I'm like crossing my fingers here and hoping that like Moffat has learned from his mistakes, and in this next series, Clara is going to be like real like kick-ass and awesome. But like she hasn't gotten a lot of screen time. Like, it's weird because the Mirror said that like she's been one of the longest running companions only because the time that she was in, because there was like a gap at like Asylum of the Daleks, and then like a gap, and then the end of the second half of series 7, and then there was those episodes, and then now. But like episode wise, she's not in a lot, so she didn't really get a lot of time to shine. She was kind of like Martha, like. Like, so far, I feel like Martha and Clara have had the same amount of episodes-ish. And I'm like, she needs more time to shine, so I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you about comparing her to Martha, I think. I don't think she's been used in the capacity that she could be. I think she started off amazing with Asylum of the Daleks, and I think the Christmas episode where we saw her was fantastic. But after that, I don't feel like they've used her effectively. And I feel like that whole, you know, half of Matt Smith's season was just really weird in general. Like, there wasn't a lot of consistency to it. And the whole idea was that we were to discover who Clara was as the impossible girl. Well, if her point is to be with the Doctor and she's going to leave at Christmas, what does that say about the impossible girl? Does she change? Does she get to regenerate like a doctor does so that he always still has that person to look out for him? Because what do you do with a character that you've made that's supposed to be with the doctor and protecting him all the time and she leaves? How do you fix that?
Yeah, I just hope if they have her exit at Christmas, which I guess I could be fine with, to move on with somebody who is better suited for Capaldi, and I would be good with it being a male, female, heck, I'd even be fine with being an alien he travels with. There's just so much that we still haven't unraveled about Clara. Like, the fact that the date her mother died is the day the Doctor Who first aired almost 10 years ago. The fact that her favorite book from childhood was one written by Amy Pond, and she passed that book along. The mysterious woman in the shop. The fact that she's now teaching at the Coal Hill School, which was the school that the Doctor's granddaughter initially attended. I mean, I would just like to think that these are more than just little cookies that they've thrown in there just for the sake of throwing them in there. I would love to know, please tell me this all means something. I mean, if you just had like one of those, I'd be like, oh, okay, it's just like a little cookie there for us to enjoy. But like when you have so many things like that, I just feel like there's a lot we don't have answered, and I really hope that we would get whatever it is answered by Christmas time, if she is in fact going to depart. So I don't know. I think I could be either way about it. And I think, like Kristen, I said, I think I was a whole lot more on board with it prior to seeing this past episode. But yeah, I could say moving on. I could see it definitely having some legs there. Anybody else have anything else before we wrap this one up?
No.
No.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening. We will be back again next week. Hopefully our tech is a little more smooth next week. You gotta love live podcasting. You never know. And actually, this kind of stuff happens all the time when we record. We just chop it out in the editing. But glad you guys could all join us. So thanks a lot. Until next time, guys. I'm Laura. Giving a shout out for my other people there. Sound off one by one, guys.
I'm Kyle.
Bye. I'm Kristen.
I'm Jen. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Next time, guys.